about it in Sunday school, and the preacher preaches about it and reference it often. This story is so special to us because it teaches that taking a stand for God always pays off in the end. So I'd like to look at these tonight and just share a few things with you about this. And first of all, how many of you know the names, what the names mean of these three young men? Anybody have an idea what their names are? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were young boys when they, along with Daniel and other Hebrews, were captured by the Babylonian invaders, and taken back to Babylon to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. When these boys arrived in Babylon, the Babylonians tried their best to assimilate the Hebrews into the Babylonian culture. When these boys arrived in Babylon, they possessed Hebrew names. Their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their Hebrew names had a religious significance, since each name spoke about the God of Israel. So, the world wants to change us, just like they wanted to change the Hebrew children's name. And they did change their names. And they changed it. Daniel's name, meaning God is my judge. His name was changed to Belshazzar, which means Bel is my judge, which the Bel is the name of one of the Babylonians' gods. So they changed his name to that. Hananiah means God is gracious. His name was changed to Shadrach, which means illuminated by the sun god. Name means who is like God. His name was changed to Meshach, which means who is like Venus. Azariah's name means the Lord is my helper. His name was changed to Abednego, which means the worship of Nego, N-E-G-O. So you see, they did everything for him they could. They even tried to get them to change their diet to make them more like the people, the Babylonians. But they refused. They refused to change their name, change their diet. They did change their name to the Hebrew name. They changed them to fit the Babylonian name. So we find here that they did everything they could to the three Hebrew children, to where that they would be what they would have them to be. And you know, that's exactly what the world is doing to us tonight. They're trying to change us to be just like them. They're doing everything they can to intimidate us and trying to get us to join their part of the world and do the things that they're doing and watch and see what they're doing. And they're trying to do us do that. And how many of you have heard some of the names that they call Christians today? Holy rollers, and all different types of names that they give us names for. Because why? Why do they that? Because they don't like the name Christians. Why do they not like the name Christian? Because the first part of it is Christ. Now, you can go out to on the streets and you can talk about God all you want to, and they won't say a thing about it. But mention to them Jesus Christ, and they'll shut you up right quick. They'll do everything they can to get you turned away from talking about Christ. So this is what these people are doing. The Babylonians are trying to do to the Shadrach, Meshach, and them. They're trying to get them to turn from their ways. Now, the Babylonians failed to force their Hebrew captive to abandon the God of their father and to adopt the lifestyle of gods of Babylon. Yet when these men were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, he found that they were 10 times wiser than the wisest men in his kingdom. Now, if you look in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20, you'll see what they said there. So you see, they're keeping their testimony. Through all the world, they're keeping their testimony. Now, as we come to our text tonight, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even though they are in position of prominence, found themselves facing a life and death decision. They could stand for the Lord and face death, or they could deny God and live. These men chose to stand for the Lord, and because they did, they were thrown into a terrible fiery furnace in spite of the danger, in spite of the threat, in spite of the wrath of the pagan king. These men held tight to their testimonies and their faith in God. Now, just suppose tonight the world come to you and said, okay, we're going to toss you into a furnace. That might not be too bad. But if you notice what the Bible says each time, let's read some of it. Chapter 3. Let me find my place. And let's look it down in chapter 3 and verses 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, look on, let's read it there. Now, if ye be ready, second chance. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet or the music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if not, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast this same hour into the midst of a fiery furnace. I left a word out, didn't I? A burning fiery furnace. Now, my furnace in my house, it may be on right now, but it's not supposed to be. But my furnace at the house is a fiery furnace. Think about it. Your furnace is a fiery furnace. But until it starts blazing, it's not a burning fiery furnace. And each time here in Daniel, it's mentioned the fiery furnace, it mentions the burning fiery furnace. Now, why do you think that is that so? Because the modernists today would say, oh, they just threw them in a stove. They just threw them in a furnace. But God was made sure that he put the word in there, a burning fiery furnace. It was burning. It was hot. In fact, the Bible says it was heated seven times hotter than it was supposed to be heated, than it ever was heated. And it says, burning the fiery furnace, they shall deliver you out of my hand. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, what did the king just get through telling them? If you don't worship me or worship the image, you're going into the fiery furnace. The same hour. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's the same hour. You're going to be cast into the fiery, burning fiery furnace. And so what they say? Then it says the past these Hebrew men, they was elevated to the place of authority within the kingdom. And it started when the king dreamed that neither he nor his wise men could interpret it. Daniel was called before the king to interpret the dream. Daniel took the matter to God, and God gave him the interpretation which Daniel shared with Nebuchadnezzar. The king was pleased, and he glorified God and promoted Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach to the position of prominence and authority in the kingdom of Babylon. Now, Daniel chapter 2, verse 48 and 49. Let's read that for just a minute. Daniel chapter 2, verses 48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now, they promoted them. They wanted them to be like the world. They wanted to be like them. They wanted them to do what they wanted to do. But they says, no. We will not worship your idol. Well, what happened? The message tonight is the men that kept their testimonies. Notice some of the truth of the passage that showed us that faithful believers do, when faced with a temptation, to compromise their testimony and deny the Lord. In the context of chapter 1, verse 22, Nebuchadnezzar reacted in anger to the stand taken by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and determined to keep his threat to destroy them in the fiery furnace. He ordered them bound up and cast into the furnace that had been heated seven times times hotter than normal. The fire is so hot that the men who tossed them into the fire are killed. Now that's hot. They were all bound up. They were all wrapped up in their hose and their clothes and everything, and they were thrown into the furnace. Now, chapter 2 and verses 9 through 18 tells us why the anger of Nebuchadnezzar was directed at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Let's just go on. It tells us the anger of Nebuchadnezzar and the king. So we find here that he was really upset. Now, because of their standards, the golden image set up by Nebuchadnezzar had the command attached to it in verses 1 through 7. It would appear that either Nebuchadnezzar had set up an image of his favorite god, or even more likely that it was set up an image of himself. Either way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to the image. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop to the level of the pagans around them. Their standards and manner of life made them different from the others around them, and the day their convictions made them stand out. Do we stand out among the world? Does our convictions stand out among the world? Do they know that we're Christians? Boy, Nebuchadnezzar knew these boys were Christians. They didn't bow. They didn't move. They just said, "We respect you, O king, but we will not bow. Our knees will not bend to idols." I wonder how many of our knees have bent to idols. I wonder how things have happened in our life. And how does the world see us? How does the world view Calvary Baptist Church? How do they view us as Christians? If we stand tall, like the three Hebrew children did, they will know that we have something. But if we back down, I've told you this many times, at work, they used to have parties and stuff at the work, and they'd say, "Jim, are you going?" And they said, I'd tell them, "No, I'm not going." And now they don't even ask me. They don't even tell me about their parties they're having, because they know I'm not going anyway. And I don't have a group of men that I hang around with. I talk to them. I'm friendly with them. I witness to them. But I don't hang around with them, because I don't want to be known as part of them. I want the people at work know that I'm a Christian, that I stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of their stand, even when threatened with a horrible death, these men refused to bend or bow. They took a stand for God in spite of the personal cost. True believers could square their shoulders and take a stand for Jesus. He expects nothing less than a total commitment. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The cross means suffering. The cross means a lot of things. If you want to know what the cross really means, and he tells us if we love him, we'll take up our cross and we'll follow him. The cross means death. Death to self. So we hear that we need it. And if we're going to live godly, if we're going to live for Jesus, then we are going to be persecuted. There will be a furnace of criticism, a furnace of intimidation, a furnace of hatred. The furnaces in our life will be that. The furnace of temptation, the furnace of trials, like you cannot imagine. These furnaces will become more numerous and far hotter as society continues to flee from God and from the guidelines he laid down for us in his word. That is just the way it is. The furnace of life, especially the furnace of persecution, are no fun. In spite of how difficult they can be, the furnace of life are good for us. The furnace of life exists to help us become more like Jesus. Just as gold and silver are placed in the furnace and are purified through the process, persecution has a way of removing the dross from our lives. We also need to understand that when the Lord sends you through the furnace and witness progress in your spiritual walk, he will place you in a hotter furnace down the road. What am I saying? God is trying to make us into the mold that he wants us to be. He wants us to be more like him. And I want to tell you, my friends, he loved us so much that he gave his life for us. And he wants us to give our life for him. Not our physical life. He wants us to give our human life. Want us to give it to him to where he can use it for his honor and glory. We may have to go through the fire. But I want you to notice something in a few minutes, what going through the fire does, what the three Hebrew children did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced this trial, and they kept their testimony. I pray that I will do the same when my time comes. I may fail, but the Lord who helps me will never, ever leave me. In 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Can you read my own writing? I'm sorry about that. So you see, the cross means suffering. And as we think about it, the three Hebrew children, as they stood for God and for God's word and God's promises, they were cast into the flake of fire, the furnace. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fire. But amazing thing happened. Instead of dying in the flames, they were loosed from their bonds and were walking around in the flame. Nebuchadnezzar cannot believe his eyes and commanded them to come out, which they did. They found to be totally unharmed by the violence of the flame. Notice how God protected them. They were protected by the presence of God. Now, remember, they were thrown into the lake of, into the fiery furnace. They were wrapped up hand and foot. They were wrapped up to where no possibility they could escape. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And after a few minutes, old Nebuchadnezzar got up and he walked over and looked and he said, wow. Paraphrasing, this is James' version. Paraphrasing. He said, wow. Did we not just throw three men in the fire? And they said, yes, O king. And he says, lo, I see how many? Four. I see four men in the fire. And the third one looks like who? Or the fourth one looks like who? The Son of God. My friends, I want to tell you something. No matter how hot the fire gets, Jesus is there. He's wanting to see how much we can take. Now, I just built Steve's water. He don't need it anyway. The fire did nothing more than to burn away the things that had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up. The Lord used the fire in the furnace to free them from the ropes that held them. When we go through the fire, when God puts us in the fire, all he's trying to do is to burn off the dross. All he's trying to do is to burn the ropes and all the things that has tied us to the world. You notice that they said that they were there. He said that the fire did nothing more than to burn away the things that had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tied up. This is what the Lord's trying to do to us. When he puts us in the fire, he wants to get rid of the things that stops us. He wants to get rid of the things that hinder us. And that's all that will be burned, the things that will hinder us. Now, when the fire of persecution and affliction come into your life and my life, you need to remember this truth. The Lord is merely freeing you from some of the things that have bound you in your life. As the flames burn away the ropes of besetting sins, bad attitudes, bad habits, etc., etc., you will find that you are free in the fire than you were outside of the fire. Now, when King Nebuchadnezzar says, come forth, How many came out? How many? Three came out, right? Now, but how many was in there? So that means Jesus is still in the fire waiting for us when he puts us in the fire. Now you think about that for a moment. What did Jesus tell us? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the when? The ends of the world. So Jesus is with us. So no matter what we go through, no matter what kind of problems we go through, no matter what kind of fire that we go through, Jesus is there. He's with us, and he's helping us. And when we come out, the only thing that'll be gone are the things that binds us to this world. See, the world bound those three Hebrew children, and they were thrown into fire. And while they were in there, the fourth one was there, and the fire burned all the things off of their hands, and they unloosed them, and they let them go. They were free from the bondage of that king. When we let God have the hold of our lives, and we turn our lives over to him, he will free us from the bondage of this world, if we'll just allow him to. Faith. When the fires of persecution and affliction come into your life, you'll remember the truth. The Lord is merely freeing you from some of the things that have you bound in your life. As the flames burn away the ropes of besetting sins, bad attitudes. Now, we Christians don't have bad attitudes, do we? Nah. Yeah, we do. We blame it on something else, but we do have bad attitudes sometimes. So bad attitudes, bad habits, etc. You will find that you are freer in the fire than you are outside the fire. Often persecution seems to like the worst possible thing that can happen in our lives, but it can prove to be the best thing we have ever experienced. John Wesley was a great preacher in the old times in England. He wanted to preach in the established churches in England. They wouldn't let him because of the way he preached and the things he preached. So he says he didn't get discouraged. He didn't say nothing. Him and his brother, Charles, and George Whitefield came to the American colonies. There they preached. They began to preach out in the open air where the people were, and thousands of people came to Christ. The flames of persecution simply loosed them from the ropes that bound them. They were bound by the Church of England that they were not able to preach in that church. But they came to America and won thousands and thousands and thousands of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were set free from the ropes of them. The fire has the power to set us free from the things that binds us and hinder our walk with the Lord. They were fine in the fire. We are told that they have no hurt in verse 25. The fire did not kill them. It didn't even burn them. God allowed them to go through the fire, but he did not allow the fire to go through them. There's a powerful truth here for those who find themselves in a fiery furnace. The furnace may be frightening, but you were not sent there to be destroyed, but to help you grow in the Lord. God did not allow it for your harm, but for your good. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and those called according to his purpose. So my friends, if you're going through the fire, God's got a plan. And God's got a purpose. And if you're going through the fire and you make it through that fire, God helps you out, there's a harder one down the road. He's just going to see how much you can take and how much you'll stand. I mean, let me tell you, when the three Hebrew children were captured and brought to Babylon, they didn't expect to go through the fire. They didn't expect all those things to happen. But they said, no matter what happened, O king, we will not bow our knees to you. And we will not bow our knees to that golden idol. I wonder if tonight, if we can say that. Even though the flames may come, They will only free you from the things that bind you. We will find in the fire, because the Lord will be with you. Even the fire, he will not leave you. He will preserve you through the fire, and he will keep you for his glory. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire, only three men went into the furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace, he saw four men in there walking around. When Nebuchadnezzar called for the men to come out of the fire, in verse 26, only three came out. What happened to the fourth man? Well, he's still in the furnace. So when you find yourself there, you will find him waiting for you. He will at your flame and say, "Cool it." The three Hebrew boys were preserved by the presence of God, and you will be too. How are we protected? How are we protected? By the powers of God. What other powers are they? What greater power can be than the power of God? When those boys came out of the furnace, they were inspected by Nebuchadnezzar and his men. We are told that not a hair was singed. There was no soot on them, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Can you imagine them going, "Well, I don't even smell any smoke on those boys. Well, there must be something true about their God. There must be something great about their God. He's protecting them." And by the way, there's only three of them come out. Where's the fourth one? He's still in the fire waiting for us. He's still in the flames waiting for us. And he's there waiting to take us out. What a miracle. You can't even walk into a convenience store or anywhere where people smoke without getting the smell of cigarette smoke on your clothes. But the power of God operated in the situation and overcome the furnace totally. That's just why God, when he does something, he does it all the way. When he heals completely. When he saves completely. When he forgives completely. He forgave completely. Whatever he does it all the way. Now, how is it that all the powerful, he is able to use that power in your life and mine? Ephesians 3:20. So when you find yourself looking at a fiery furnace, remember that you serve an all-powerful God who is able to keep you in the furnace and who is able to bring you out for his glory. These men stood by the Lord, and he stood by them. He did not forsake them or betray their faith in him. When you stand for him, you can be sure that he will not let you down. He will help you in the days of persecution. To stand for him, to keep a tight hold on your testimony. So keep a tight hold on your testimony for his glory. He has a way of strengthening us and helping us to stand for him. Notice what the Lord promised to his people. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do you predetermine, but whatsoever shall you give you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not you that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 11. Sorry about messing that up, but my reading is not very good tonight. So you see, we would be able to do. They were able to stand for him. He will enable us to remain faithful to him. He will enable us to keep a tight grip on our testimony for his glory. These three Hebrew children were promoted. They were brought up in things. They trusted him anyway. Everyone involved in the event came away with a greater understanding of who God was and what God could do. Going in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know what God was going to do. In verse 17, but they trusted him anyway. You know, we don't know what God's got in store for us tomorrow, but we need to trust him anyway, because he's going to deliver us. He's going to take us through. And he always does everything the right way. He always does what needs to be done. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was more powerful than the God that they served. In verse 15, in the end, everyone that learned that God was greater than the king and greater than the furnace of fire. Notice what happened when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was delivered from the furnace. God's person is praised. A pagan king exalted the name of the true God because of what he saw God do for his people in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar began to see things differently. One of the reasons the Lord allowed this event in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was so he could melt the hard heart of a lost heathen king. God was after Nebuchadnezzar, and God meant to have him. God spoke to him in chapter 2, and then again in chapter 3 and 4. The Lord shouted at him. God did what he had to do to get Nebuchadnezzar's attention and to bring him to faith. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar surrendered his pride and placed his faith in the Lord. He was saved. Read on about Nebuchadnezzar and the things happened in his life. And it was because of three men that dared to keep their testimony. Do we dare to keep our testimony tonight, no matter what comes? Oh, the furnace may get hot. The furnace may get hot. In fact, it's getting hot right here now. But the furnace may get hot, but God is there. Remember, three men walked out of the fiery furnace. There was one left, and that one is Jesus. When we're there, and by the way, you know yourself, Jesus and God does not do anything halfway. It's all the way or nothing. So that's what he wants from us tonight. He wants us all. He wants our all. All our everything, he wants it all. Just like the three Hebrew children gave their all, God wants us to give our all. They had no idea if they were going to come out of that flame or not. But you remember what they told the king? It doesn't matter, king, whether our God will deliver us or not. We're still not going to bow to your idol. And that's what the world needs to see in us tonight, my friends, is someone that won't bow to the world's idols. Will that be you? Will that be me? That will stand and do what God would have us to do and do what God would have us to say in the time that he has for us to say it in? Let's keep our testimony like the three Hebrew children did. Let the world see us and see that we really love Jesus and want to do the things that he'd have us to do. Let's pray. We're a little early. Steve said 3 hours. It's only been 35 minutes. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And Father, we pray now that your blessings would be on the service. Lord, we pray that you'd bless the message that was given tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd meet the needs there and that your will would be done in our hearts. Father, may we read more about what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did and what Daniel did. Lord, the things that they did and the things that they accomplished for your honor and for your glory. They caused a heathen king, a pagan king, Lord, they caused him to come to know God, and you saved him. So, Father, we pray now that as we leave here tonight, that we'll leave rejoicing in what we have in Christ and telling others about Jesus. And, Lord, let them see Christ in us. And, Father, even when we're going through the fire is only there that will cause us to burn the things off that would hinder us from our testimony. Lord, the three Hebrew children, they were thrown in the fire, but their coats didn't even smell like smoke. And the only thing that was burned was the things that hindered them, the things that kept them tied up, and the things that would cause them not to serve you. So, Father, we pray now that as Christians, we will determine in our heart that we're going to stay in the fire, and Lord, as long as you're there. And so, Father, we know that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, we pray now tonight that you'd speak to our hearts and you'd draw us all closer to you and do the things that you would have us to do. And, Father, when the fire comes, we know, Lord, that you'll be there and that you'll deliver us from that. So, Father, bless, meet the needs of this hour, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you now for all you do. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor will be back Sunday.